required to tell you how much it is.
Okay.
How much they got from the feds?
How much they're giving to you that's federal, that retains that federal pass-through. Because they could get $1 million from the feds and have $1 million of this other revenue, and then they could give you, you know, 300,000, but 200 of it could be state and 100,000 of it federal, or 300 federal.
That counts against our federal?
Yes, yeah. As long as it originated, it never loses that federal source. So even if you guys pass it through, yeah, that they have to count it as federal.
Case in point is 319 NDEP funding. 319 comes from the state, but it's all federal dollars.
Yeah.
So it shows up here, even though it's a state contract, it shows up as federal dollars, correct?
Yep, yep. Never loses the federal.
That's the snagging account?
What's that?
The clearing and snagging account? 319?
319, that's the EPA water grants.
Yeah.
Non-point source pollution grants.
Yeah, and I see you're signing these now.
I am signing. And I have terrible handwriting, so my signatures are just, you know. page 28, or 27 is the independent auditor's reports in accordance with government auditing standards. There are no findings on here at all. There's no compliance or internal control issues. Same thing with page 28 and 29. This is the compliance required with OMB Circular A133, your single audit. Again, there was no findings at all with that. Page 31 is schedule of findings and questions costs. It's good. They're all no's, no material weaknesses, no significant deficiencies. That you guys were not a low-risk audit-y only because there was a finding 2 years ago. So you have to have 2 years of clean audits and single audits to not be considered low-risk.
So at this point, we're now 2 years without a finding.
So next year
we would be low-risk.
If you get a single audit, yeah, if you're over the 750. Yeah.
If we're over 750.
Yeah, and I don't know where you guys are at.
Does that change the amount of work you need to do?
It can. So what it does is, and these numbers are all sort of changing with this new change, but we had to get 25% coverage with a low-risk oddity or 50% coverage with a non-low-risk oddity. But depending on where you lay out, you know, I have some clients who only have one CFDA, so your guys's major grant this year was CFDA number 15.543, which is the Lake Tahoe Regional Wetlands Development. And that was $838,000. So sometimes it just kind of depends on where it falls into line, which ones we have to choose. It's a risk-based review that we do for grants that are over $300,000. So it depends. It could be one CFDA, we have to audit, or two or more. It depends on where your grant numbers come in. So not necessarily. Sometimes yes, but not always.
Of course.
Yeah, it does, and that's what's it. It's funny. Everybody always asks me, why are we not low risk, and what does that change? I mean, it can change how much we need to audit, but it doesn't necessarily mean it will change what we have to audit. So.
I'm just looking to see if we're going to save money with your audit next year.
Not likely.
Maybe. Yes, maybe.
Yeah.
Yes,
it depends on where you guys come
in. It all depends.
It all depends.
If we bring in less revenue, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Well, and we always... Revenue. I mean, not all firms. I know some firms are different. We always do our fee based on whether or not you have a single audit or not. And we don't necessarily increase our fee. We don't increase our fee because we have to audit four CFDA numbers or one. Whereas I know some come in and here's our fee, but if we have to add additional CFDA numbers, we increase it. I don't know.
That's a big deal.
It can be a big deal because before you even get into it, you don't know how many CFDA numbers you have to audit. So to us, we just feel like it's more fair for us to just, here's the set fee, and it's going to be that and that. And if we have to audit more, we have to audit more. We just, it's part of our risk. And we don't maybe make as much, which is fine. We try to keep it so that you guys can afford it too, because I know that you're required to, and funding has been tight.
So. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to accept the audit as prepared.
Second. All right, it's been moved and seconded. Any abstentions? All in favor of approving the audit, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? passed. Thank you very much, Beth.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Mark and Jason are just great to work with, and we really they make the audit go very smooth for us. So thank you for that.
Thank you. We appreciate you guys. Yeah. I feel the same about our interactions with you guys. Yeah. It's a pleasure to have you around.
Just to let you all know, I was at a Christmas party on Saturday and saw Beth, and you're going to be all shocked. Beth is an accountant, right? Her daughters were there, and guess who won the best coloring in their age group? The accountant's daughter.
Yes, she did, and she was very proud of herself. She was very excited.
There was nothing outside the lines.
Stayed in the lines?
Yeah. I know, and I always try to be so professional, and he had to see me in my pajamas. Pajamas in front of Santa.
It was like pajamas incurred.
Yeah. That's good.
I'm glad you added that.
Yeah. I'm a fun accountant.
Thank
all right,
you, Beth.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks. Happy Beth. Holidays.
Talk to you. Yeah, thank you too. Merry Christmas.
Merry
Happy
Christmas.
New Year.
Christmas.
All right, guys.
More cookies.
Okay, we're going to have further discussion on the items that were brought up. For approving the finances under the business report of 3010, possible action staff report. Consent calendar. Next on the agenda. This includes items 7, 8, and 9. Are there items to be pulled for further discussion?
Chairman, I'd like to pull 7A, and we have a representative from the Senate Director.
Yes.
Barbara, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Okay. Can you repeat that? Can you hear us?
I can hear you. I can hear, always hear what you say, and I can hardly hear what anybody else says.
Okay, we'll move the speaker around. So I want to pull the National Conservation District update to talk about the national meeting. Can you do that? You okay with that?
I'm fine. I don't have a big report. I just want to remind people to go online and sign up.
Okay.
Because we need to sign up. Can I say one more thing?
Doing
a fundraiser. Oh, do you want me to roll?
Wait.
Yeah, wait. Okay.
So I'm pulling.
We're waiting. Yes. Okay, 7B. So that was national, right? So mm-hmm. That would be 7B.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So we have requests to hold item 7A, B, and item 9 from the consent calendar.
Well, 9's already out. So.
Oh, it is, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's outside of it.
So 7.
So it's not in the consent calendar.
Yeah.
So item 7 and 8 are the consent calendar. Okay.
7A and B?
7A and B are held.
Okay.
Is there a motion on the balance of the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any abstentions? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Passed. Okay, item 7A, NRCS report.
I would like to mention what Jason called to my attention recently about our easement program, which includes the restoration of wetlands and private meadows.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an avenue for landowners to gain some expertise and some funding. And there's another way, if someone's not interested in an easement, to get work, to work with us on wetlands and meadows, and that is if it's determined to be habitat for a declining species, which I presume up here would probably be pretty easy to do. So if you do have private wetlands or meadows that might be interesting projects, we could take a look at them sometime, Jason.
Okay.
And immediately comes to mind is Larry Rubo's property in Glenbrook. And it butts up to the project that we completed in Glenbrook. And I don't know, I know we had conversations with Mr. Rubo's representative up here about 2 years ago, Jason. I think that was Megan who did that. So it might be worth having you call into them And is there a match associated with that, or how does that work?
Mm-hmm. Usually there'll be a 50-50 kind of match. On an easement, I haven't really investigated the new program. The old way, if it was a permanent easement, in perpetuity, the agency would cover all the costs, a 30-year easement, a 50-50. But I would presume this one would be some kind of match as well.
And I do believe that one of the issues with Mr. Rubio was the fact that because he did some, I think it was the dock situation that he did work on down there about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, he had to put a pot of money into a rehab program for the meadow. So I think he's actually sitting on some money to make habitat improvements on that wetland stream.
We tried to navigate with Ruvo last spring, actually, and a permit that we put in a year ago with TRPA to do some restoration or thinning and habitat improvement to the creek there and the willows and trees and stuff on his property, and TRPA denied the permit, saying that it was view enhancement. So we'd have to approach it tack, or I think, any work so that... Environmental scientists' expertise thought that there was no need to deal with those willows, and even though they were big and there was a willow patch along the creek, didn't feel as though it was being choked out or any issues. And I think Rubo did want to enhance his view, and so TRPA may have been calling it the way it was.
Okay. And one other project that might have some traction is Slaughterhouse Canyon, and there's quite a bit of private property in the lower end of Slaughterhouse, either with Lindbergh Homeowners Association or the private outside. Thank you, Louis.
So how would we go about, you know, applying for this, and how would that impact us, and what's the size of the potential projects?
Well, potential projects, somebody has to design the project, and somebody needs to implement the project. Now, I don't think you require your funding. If let's say that we married up 50-50 with Mr. Rubo and your funding, your funding could be used to pay our stream restoration specialist. Is that correct?
Our programs work, and assuming this is not an exception that I haven't explored.
Right.
We designate certain practices, the extent of them,
correct,
the magnitude, and whatnot. We allocate upfront a payment for the implementation of that practice to the specification.
Right.
So it's a fixed amount. How he spends the money is his business.
Bingo. Right. So he would get the money. If we pull together the project line, the way I see it, and we go to Mr. Rubo or Glenbrook and go, well, part of your project can be paid 50% by NRCS, and you pay the other 50%, we'll manage the project, and you bring the funds to us, and we'll do it. So that's how I see we could both benefit. It would be a win-win for, well, triple win.
Yeah.
Win for him, because he gets credits because he's done a project up here.
Yes.
Win for us, because we have more work. And win for the habitat.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we need to, to pursue every single possible opportunity. Thank you, Libby. Anything else?
Along that line, I just wanted to mention, and I don't know if there's anything we're talking about here or not, but I just want to throw Sierra Clean in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Sierra Colina, yeah. Yeah, they're moving forward a little bit. They've made a lot of progress, and you'll be hearing a lot more about it here. But they've downsized their project, so I think there might be an opportunity there.
Hmm. And what about the Tahoe Beach Club?
They're moving forward too. They're putting their clubhouse in next spring.
Mm-hmm.
They're having some issues with KGID trying to dewater that wet well that's down there, but they're still in the process. Once they get that completed, then they can demolish, raise that facility, and the Beach Club can move in next spring like they're intending. So, the Beach Club is definitely moving forward, and they have definitely designated, I think it's about 4.5 acres for conservation on that one side where the creek is.
Who's the point of contact there?
It'd be Tom Castaneda.
Right.
Or Bob Rinkade, but usually Tom. Tom's the on-hand guy here all the time. But Tom's here every day, Bob's, not so much.
So good points that we need to explore other options. That kind of dovetails to item 9.
Right. And Libby, this is a new program that happened because of the farm bill, is that correct?
It's doctored up, I guess. We've always had an easement program, and it was mostly rice fields. Things, for wetland that people put their properties in the easement. So this is some new bells and whistles.
Not so much.
What has been in existing.
But it's not, let me ask you it a different way. Must you be a producer to qualify for these funds?
To my knowledge, no.
Perfect.
I think, and particularly on the one, if you go on the avenue of declining habitat, or habitat for, critical habitat for declining species, I think that would be also independent of the farm requirement.
Okay. Any other questions on 7A? Or 7B?
Barbara.
Yes.
She covered two things when she said she wanted it held, and...
Yeah, what else on the conference?
Okay, the deadline for early bird registration is supposedly Friday, tomorrow. I was on a conference call yesterday, and we've moved it 1 week. So we moved it, actually we moved it through, I think, the 23rd, yeah, probably a week, 23rd, I think. And the rooms, we're having it over at the Grand Sierra, and I encourage everyone to go. It's going to be fantastic. But it's also really a shot in the arm for us to take back, go to a bunch of breakout sessions and really take back a lot of good information and context and updated information that might be very particular to some of the things that we're either looking at or should be looking at. So that's one thing. Along with that, we're putting together a fundraiser for the Nevada Conservation District. I have Doris Daly, who is a two-time all America, North and South, well, I guess North America, cowboy poet winner, and she's also in the Cowboy Hall of Fame. She's fabulous, and she's going to come and put on a performance, an hour-long performance, after the opening welcome, which is the night before the meeting starts. So Sunday night, it will probably start a little after 6:30. I encourage everyone to talk it up and come. It's not very expensive. It's $20 and $25 at the door. But we really need to show support, and it's a great way to get everyone to see the kinds of things that we have going for us here in Nevada and out west. So again, that's going to be a lot of fun, and the meetings are pulling together really well, and the tours. Pass it on and sign up. That's, I think, really important. And the other thing I wanted to know is whether or not people were getting information. Are you receiving online the magazine? Also any information, and this is a question to Jason particularly, is our district getting information from them in terms of the monies that are available, because the EPA, there's been a lot of changes, and although there were cuts that were made, we've really been able to preserve a lot of things for conservation, and particularly for urban conservation districts. and that's us. So I don't want us to overlook anything, and it might be a really relevant way to look at other additional partners. When we talked about partners and getting the publicity out there, in terms of who we are, what we do, and who we work with, and who we work for, who benefits from what we do. All of that needs to expand. And if you're not getting that, let me know, or go online and let them know that, and give them your email address. So again, I encourage everyone to get on that email list, because there's some really good information that comes out. And if there's any questions, let me know.
Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you.
Will we have a booth or anything there?
Well, I sent, you should have received something, because I know I got a CC on it that it went out. I took back what we talked about at the last meeting, and regarding having a booth, and they talked about it, and everyone agreed, and they thought that we should do something and have it for something available for all of Nevada and the Sheriff Fair and particular districts, and we have to sign up for the Sheriff Fair, that we would do that. And that was sent. I know, Maureen, I gave them your email, and I gave them, they have the email for the district. And I CC'd them to send it to all of our members, I mean, all of our board members. But somebody should have gotten on board and responded to Susan Schultz, because she sent out the response, and she's in charge of the Sheriff here. And if we haven't, I would recommend that either Jason or Maureen send a quick CC to them, or a quick response to them. And if you haven't read it, ask them to send it again and say that you're interested, because that's the only way we can get on there.
Yeah, and you, I did get that.
That's a fantastic thing.
I did get that, Barbara.
Okay.
I did get that, Barbara, and I saw that it's actually Kimberly Koch that we're supposed to coordinate with, and wanted to make sure that the district wanted us to spend the money, and we'll talk about finances and stuff to have a booth and what it takes to put together a booth and whatnot. So I did receive the email, Barbara, and both of them actually, of the registration costs. And I'm going to pass this out just so everyone can see. This is a sample. If someone wants to keep it, that's fine. I can reprint it or email you if you'd like to register. It's $445 if you register before tomorrow.
$445.
Right, and that's just to get in. It doesn't include any tours, breakfasts, fundraisers, or anything else.
It's
just
very
so
pricey.
You all know.
Mm-hmm. It is very pricey.
And they don't have one day registration.
No, it doesn't look like it.
That's not including lodging. That's just the registration.
That's to get in.
That's pretty high.
So,
we
Glenn, that's why you saw
own,
these
right?
numbers that I had showed you of
yeah.
approximate costs for me to attend and how many days the board thinks it's appropriate for me to be there is, I guess, one of the questions that I'll ask each of you in a few minutes.
Great.
But we can hold that for another item.
Okay, any other questions for Barbara on 7B?
And single day is $350.
Okay, is there a motion to approve items?
If any questions come up, you can always send me an email and I'll try and get back to you.
Okay, is there a motion on item 7A and B?
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any abstentions? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Pass.
Aye.
Item 9, financials.
Yep.
Mark.
Well, I don't know if there's much more to tell than I did in the board packet, but just things are not improving. We keep having a loss every month. So at this point, we are at what, almost year to date, we're at like a minus 11,000 for the year. We will receive the 3,000 from Carson City during that time, so that'll help. But it looks like we're we're on pace to lose like 2,000 to 3,000 every month. It just seems to be our dynamic right now. So year end is not projected to look too good. But the positive thing is cash right now is still fine. We're doing really well that way. I'm definitely paying all the bills on time, and we actually have at this point about 2 to 3 week reserve in cash, which is pretty good. At least in my history, it's always been less than that, so that's a good number. But things need to change a little bit. Unless we think there's a light at the end of the tunnel, we definitely have room to lose some money to get to the tunnel.
If we continue like we are right now with Mark and Jason at 75%, how many months before we actually crash?
If there's projects for Jason at 75%, so there's the next question that we should all talk about, but if there was work and projects and I could pump my billing higher than 75% in terms of if I was still about 10 hours a week for general fund to do district manager type stuff or less, and could get my number above 75% for projects, I think we would stand to slowly catch up, and it would be a beneficial thing. There's not enough projects right now.
Yeah.
And okay. As I've told you, Glenn, and I've mentioned it to the board in the past many months, a year ago, that's the crux right now, is we don't have enough projects running, and we had a couple of projects like Zephyr Cove that didn't go to bid and construction this year, which pushed out, so we have to have those funds to continue into construction and finish up with the adjustments that are being requested of the Technical Advisory Committee on Zephyr Hill, for example.
So, back to my question. I mean, currently we're losing $2,000 to 3,000 a month. We have plenty of cash. We're making all of our payments. How many, if we stay at 75 for Mark and Jason, how many months can we go without really tanking?
I don't know. Hmm. I haven't done any of those crunches.
I think it would also depend on whether the rest of the folks have projects.
Mm-hmm. Well,
if they have fewer and fewer projects.
Yeah, we're going to present that.
It's an ever-increasing
kind of circle. No, we're good for 18 months on the rest of folks on their projects. But the question I ask is just, how many months do we have before we make a draft?
That might be hard to answer. How much of your time is project-related?
Used to be over 50%, and I guess, you know, because I'm down to 75%, so I would be about 8 to 12 hours a week on general fund, and of 32 hours, the rest would be project work.
That's what it is now.
That's what it used to be.
That's what it was this last pay period. Talking about today's pay period is a different story. I'm out of project work. I have a wrap-up on EPA, and it's time for me to start either taking projects from others, or we need to determine layoff for me. And I don't know if I'm preemptively going into this, but I don't want to lay Mark off to help our general fund, but I don't have projects to build to anymore. And we could go and redistribute all the workload for the staff, everybody's projects, then maybe in jeopardy of not being successful because we need the timing on those and their staff time to continue to work on those. Okay. And because of a couple adjustments that were made, things that we had put together and tried to budget and forecast our budget for the year, that's all shifted since June. And so we need to extend projects and not spend them off too fast.
So this is what we plan to talk about under item 10. So I would like to ask if there's any other questions or comments for Mark on item 9. All right. Is there a motion on item 9?
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any abstentions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, item 10. Jason, I'll hand it over to you.
I jumped into it a little too soon maybe, but I'd like to start first with the projects update, because I think that's important for each of you to hear that projects are successful right now. We're moving forward. Zephyr Cove, we're waiting on a special use permit to be signed by NDOT. And if once they get that signed, they're hoping, they don't want to sign it yet because they want a little bit more maintenance room. So we're working with the Forest Service to understand exactly how much room, and we need to have that special use permit signed soon. Looks like it's going to go through NDOT. They're going to sign it, but they want a couple terms worked out. Once that's signed, we'll be on track to go to bid early March, hopefully, for Zephyr Cove to go to construction.
One question before we proceed any further. I see you have a handout on this. Is there anything we can look at while we're going through it?
That's not going to help with what I'm doing, but if you want to go in and pass that out now, that's up to you. You probably have to explain what that is.
You don't have a handout? You don't have
not on projects today.
Okay. What are you talking about at Zephyr Cove specifically?
Water quality improvement project that we're designing down with a majority of NDOT runoff being treated.
In the cove itself or a creek or something?
It's coming down the highway and then going into the neighborhood, just if you're looking at the lake to the left of the resort itself.
Right.
And a couple different options, feasible options that have been designed, and we're getting closer to 90% design and moving forward on that. So that project's moving forward successfully. Monica and Megan have been doing a great job in coordinating and dealing with a lot of little hiccups and keeping them smooth. And then Burke Creek, our other large project right now, that's going through successfully so far. We're still on track to be going to bid soon as well in March. Waiting for an easement from Sierra Colina to be signed. They have a lot of environmental project type stuff that's committed to their project, and they're trying to get it all taken care of by signing an easement. So Sierra Colina is kind of playing these cards, but it looks like we've come to an agreement with Douglas County, Sierra Colina, and ourselves to make the project beneficial for the environment as well as Sierra Colina's permit conditions, and it looks like they'll be signing that soon. Those are the two main projects that are moving forward. We've been doing the road ops, road ram work with Caltrans and with both Washoe County, Douglas County a little bit, but Washoe County and NDOT. So we're working on the road ram and doing that work where we go out and sweep the highway and trying to assess what kind of sediment or fine particles are left on the roads. Dami leads that up for the most part. She also leads up doing a lot of modeling work for the TMDL and navigating through the jurisdictions, assisting the jurisdictions with their SLURPs, the sediment load reduction plans. We'll be working to help them update those as well as register catchments. And we have actually registered one of Washoe's catchments recently. So she's doing a great job there. She also works on water quality monitoring with TRCD, and it's she's doing a great job on that as well. So those are the main projects to mention. Tali Elcrest is about $2,000 left that I'm working on to understand if we need a safe harbor agreement still, now that you see Tali Elcrest is a success story, as we keep hearing. However, a safe harbor agreement may still be appropriate so that homeowners feel that there's no ramifications for having the thing on their property. So we're still going to be navigating through that with the state of California and TRPA. EPA, I'm wrapping up final reports on right now for our community watershed partnership. And everything looks like it's going to be wrapped up successfully, and we're wrapping up our NDSL invasive weeds project, which we've been helping to treat the right of way for about 10 years, and they've notified us that they will not fund that again. So they don't want to fund programs, which now they're calling it a program. It's been 10 years that we've been doing the same type of work. So they don't want to fund that, and they won't fund the invasive weeds in the right of way next year. That's what they're telling us. And there's $350,000 coming out in their RFP. Maureen, you've probably seen that. Due January 15th or 18th, I believe. So that RFP is out right now, and we'll be looking at license plate funding for some projects, and hopefully we...
Those aren't very big
grants. No, they're usually smaller grants, and depending on the projects, can be really good projects, and sometimes
so
they're studies.
I sat down with Jason and Mark on Thursday and went over all this. Jason prepared this top grid here showing the percent that everybody is on all of those different projects.